The game is in the books, and the Life by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
The Hawks fall to the LA Kings 3-1 here at the United Center. The five-game point streak has been snapped. Hawks came into this game 4-0-1 in their last five games after an 0-2-1 start. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy to help us break down this game. Steve, you were just mentioning it with John. I thought the Hawks were the better team in the first period, but in that second period and on, L.A. tilted the ice in their favor.
Yeah, they did. But even early in that second period, they had this one shift, and it was actually the shift that L.A. scored. They had this one shift, and they had three shot attempts, three really good puck retrievals. You know, L.A.'s on the ropes. They're getting tired. You know, some of the Blackhawks were tired, too, because they were down that zone. And then Sam Rinzell notices Connor Bedard jumping off the bench, and he tried to force a pass to him, and the play gets broken up. And then all of a sudden they go down the other way. It was kind of an odd man break. Laferriere with a perfect shot just off the post and in. It beat Soderblom. And that tied the game at one. It was relatively early in the second period. But that just seemed to change the momentum for L.A. because up to that point, they had nothing going on. They weren't playing very well, and they'd be the first to tell you. And sometimes one play can change a game, and I'm not hanging this on Sam Rinzell, but those are the kind of mistakes you can't make at that point. And, you know, it's an offensive play. You're forcing it. It's almost a hope play, and sometimes hope plays end up biting you, and I think that one bit the Blackhawks.
I think I mentioned this in the intermission, but L.A. came into this game four straight games in overtime. Their games have gone into overtime. Mm-hmm. Six of their nine games have gone into extras this year. They obviously had a back-to-back. They had the first game yesterday in Nashville. That game went to a shootout. And so coming into this game, you knew that the Hawks, the message was going to be, let's let our fresh legs take advantage of their tired legs. They were obviously had the backup goaltender as well. Same with Chicago with Arvid Soderblom. But it was unfortunate that the Hawks weren't able to take advantage in that second period because the Hawks had, they were coming off an emotional high in Tampa Bay on mm-hmm. Thursday night with the way that game went. But prior to Thursday, the last Hawks game was on Sunday. So the Hawks should have been fresh for this game. And unfortunately, the LA, I don't know if they were maybe just running on adrenaline or whatnot, but they certainly tilted the ice in their favor in that second period. The one kind of sore spot for the Blackhawks in this game, I thought, was the power play. Yeah. They went 0 for 5. It didn't feel like they generated much. Even on that 6-on-4 opportunity there, the Hawks struggled to get anything going. How much of that, Steve, was what the Hawks weren't doing versus LA does this to a lot of teams with the way they play. They just shut it down defensively, and it's so hard to just crack their neutral zone forecheck.
Yeah, well, LA had a great penalty kill last year. They were ranked 7th in the NHL, one of the stingiest teams giving up goals last year, and that's why they ended up with 105 points. Their goaltenders had, both of them had really good goals against averages. This year was different, though. They're ranked 25th currently in the penalty killing department. You know, we're early in the season, but on the road, they rank 28th. They're only 65%. So I'm sure Jim Hiller, a former teammate of mine with the LA, with the Detroit Red Wings, the LA Kings head coach, you know, he's been talking to his team about killing penalties. Newell Brown, who's an assistant coach, he's been an assistant coach of the NHL for, gosh, I bet you over 30 years now. He's a real good penalty killing specialist. They've gone over a lot of tape. They're going to get better. And you can see the team. I mean, when you've got guys like Kopitar and Byfield and Philip Deneau out there, it's tough to get anything going because they're big, heavy bodies, and it's tough to find space. So, you know, the Blackhawks, yeah, if there was one area that really didn't give them a lot of good looks, it was certainly the power play.
And that's one area of the Blackhawks game so far this season that really hasn't gotten going yet, is the power play. And it's one of the things when Jeff Blashill took over in training camp, they spent very little time on special teams work in the first week or so of camp because they wanted to get the 5-on-5 structure down and just the neutral zone forecheck, the defensive zone system before they transition to the special teams work. And I'm not sure how much that actually played a factor. It probably actually played more of a factor to the neutral zone and the 5-on-5 game, how much time they did spend and how great it's been. But the power play, it just feels like it hasn't clicked yet on a consistent basis. Some of that I feel like Sam Rinzell has, I know he's got several gears to get to that it feels like he hasn't gotten there yet. And, you know, part of it is, I know Teuvo Teravainen, I think he was asked today this morning, or I'm sorry, at practice yesterday, Teravainen went into this game with only 6 shots on goal total this season. And so I think they want him to shoot more when you're on the power play. I'm sure they want Teravainen to shoot a little bit more just to keep the penalty killers honest, but also so it doesn't tip their hand that he's just going to pass it over to Connor Bedard on the other side. So the power play, when we talk about goaltending, the young players, the power play just hasn't been able to click yet this season.
Yeah, and they haven't had an opportunity, and there's so much to work on. You know, you've got a new coach, relatively new coaching staff, too. You're putting in different systems, and, you know, Jeff Blashill framed it as, you know, I can't force feed these guys too much at a time. It's just a little bit at a time, a little bit of time. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if tomorrow a lot of time is spent on the power play, because it could have been a way to get back in this hockey game. At least, you know, sometimes you don't always have to score in the power play, but if you can get some looks, get some shots, all of a sudden the fans get into it, all of a sudden the bench gets into it. And when you think about it, you know, your 5 best players are typically on the ice for the power play. If they start feeling better about themselves, your best players now have a little bit of momentum. So, and if one of them scores, even better. So those are all good reasons to make sure the power play might not score every time, but they're getting some looks. And tonight, they just weren't getting those looks.
The Blackhawks were without Tyler Bertuzzi in this game. He's ruled day-to-day. He's battling an injury, a little banged up. I wonder how much of his presence they miss, not just on the first line, but he's their net front on that first power play unit. And against a team like LA, I mean, they're hard to play against. And so you almost, they probably missed a guy like him on their power play tonight, where they go 0-for-5 and they could have used maybe a greasy goal.
Yeah, I'd agree. You know, they brought in some big bodies. You know, Cody Ceci's a big guy. Edmondson's been there for a couple of years now. He's another big, heavy defenseman. You know, Drew Doughty's not a small guy, so you've got to pay the price in front of the net. And yeah, Bertuzzi's certainly one of those guys, and he just has a knack for getting under guys' skin too. So, you know, another guy who draws a lot of penalties whenever he's on the ice. Yeah, net front presence, I think it's so important, you know, certainly in 5-on-5 play, but especially on the power play. You get guys hanging around in front of the crease, you know, you can make a living out of scoring goals 5-10 feet away from the net, and that's exactly what Bert does.
You mentioned Ilya Mikheyev, how impressive he has been for the Blackhawks this season. Unfortunately, he did not return in the third period after taking that spill into the boards after being tripped by Adrian Kempe. Feels like the Hawks have, it's been one guy in, then one guy comes back out. You know, like Jason Dickinson missed 2 games because of an injury. He comes back in, but then Bertuzzi exits because he's banged up. Or Nick Foligno, obviously, he stepped away to take care of a family situation, rightfully so. You know, but now you got a guy like Mikheyev. And if the Hawks want to go with 11-7, it's going to put an extra strain on those forwards to make sure that those forwards are elevating. And hopefully for the Blackhawks' sake, I'm sure we'll get an update from Jeff Blashill after this game that Mikheyev's not out for an extended period of time, because he has been easily one of the best forwards that the Blackhawks have had in the early part of this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and I think it's the ultimate compliment when you see a guy on the ice and you think he's really big. I think he was a big guy. Like, he looks like he's 6'3", 215, 220 pounds. I think he's listed at 6'1", about 200 pounds. He plays with a long stick. He's just got a great hockey IQ. And I talked to Jeff Blashill this morning about that. And he says he just wins battles. He wins battles everywhere. Yeah. In the middle of the ice, along the boards, killing penalties. We saw it tonight, 2 or 3 times breaking up really smart power plays by the LA Kings. He thinks the game like not many guys do. And not might not be the prettiest skater in the league, but boy, he gets north-south in a hurry. And yeah, let's hope he's okay, because, you know, so far for the Blackhawks, it's been next man up, and they've done a really good job filling in for guys who have had to take, you know, leaves. But, I mean, that would be a really big hole. And, you know, tonight, an opportunity to play, you know. And he has at times played with Bedard, but you know, he started on the first line with Bedard. What a great opportunity for him.
Yeah. All right. You'll be back here on Tuesday?
I think I will, yeah.
All right. So it's going to be a 7:45 start at the United Center, because Tuesday is the NHL Frozen Frenzy, where all 32 teams are going to be in action. So it's going to be, I think, starting at like 6 o'clock or 5:45, there's going to be staggered puck drops every 15 minutes. And so, Chicago, we got lucky with the 7:45 slot. So we're just 15 more minutes later. But, yeah, that should be a fun one in the NHL. frozen frenzy.
As long as it doesn't interfere with my snack time, because I normally go for a big snack around 8 o'clock.
Or John's soup time. We don't want to interfere with John's snoop time. Soup time. All right. We'll catch you back here on Tuesday.
All right,
good
Charlie.
Work today,
great
Steve.
Job.
All right. We're waiting on some sound from the Blackhawks locker room. I'm not sure how much we're going to be able to get into it in this post-game show because we're going up to 9:30 today. It was a little bit of an extended game here for between the Blackhawks and LA Kings. So we'll see what we can fit in, but hopefully when we get an injury update on Ilya Mikheyev from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill, we will pass that along. Connor Bedard, he led the way for the Blackhawks. And hang on a second, I think he led all skaters, if I'm looking at LA, correct? Yeah. Wow, 23 minutes and 37 seconds of ice time for Connor Bedard. That led all skaters between the Kings and Blackhawks. That is the most ice time Connor Bedard has gotten this year in regulation. We know that he's had a couple overtime games where I think his season high is 2501, which came in a shootout against Vancouver a couple weeks ago, but this was his highest in regulation. So the Hawks really leaned heavily on him. Let's hear what Connor Bedard, he was one of the two players that spoke inside the locker room after the game. Let's hear what Connor had to say about this loss.
It seemed like the first you guys got off to the start you wanted. What was starting to happen there in the second period?
We started off the game pretty well. I think our power play is terrible tonight, so that doesn't help. We have, I don't know how many power plays, five or six. And I think I heard Dickie mention that kind of takes the momentum a little bit, and they use that. And then the second, we're kind of, trying to do a little too much sometimes maybe. So they fed off that, and then we couldn't obviously get it back in the third.
Was it their aggressiveness on their PK, or what did you see on the power play?
No, it was more us. I mean, every team's going to have a good kill, but if we aren't making good plays, it's going to be tough. So, we'll look at it and watch it and be better.
You guys have talked a few times about being one-goal games against playoff-caliber teams. This is obviously another playoff-caliber team. Are there things you take away as you talk about that process from a playoff perspective?
I think on a team like that, just figuring out how to create offense. They play really boring. It's not like a dig or anything. They sit back a lot and they make it hard to get, zone entries, and we're putting it in and we're trying to go get it, but, they're good at breaking it out. So, a lot of teams are going to play like that, especially when they have a lead. So we got to kind of figure out how to crack that a little bit. So I thought that, was a good experience for us.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard. He saying the power play was terrible and that the LA Kings play really boring, and he is not wrong. Every time LA Kings, it's a really difficult matchup for Stars to play against LA because they just clog up the neutral zone, and it is so hard to just generate any rush chances specifically against that team. And I remember a couple years ago, or just I can't remember how long this was, but Patrick Kane shared some similar comments when he was talking about facing a team with a 1-3-1, and I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Peter Laviolette's. Was it Nashville or might have been LA? I'm not sure. But Kane shared some similar sentiments about how they play really boring, and it's just you have to find a way to just it's hard to get. It's hard to stay patient and play your game against an LA team, LA Kings team that plays that way. But I think that's going to be a growing lesson for this young Blackhawks team, is figuring out a way to break through that. He did mention the power play. He didn't like the power play. And I'm looking at some of the power play numbers. Hawks had five opportunities in this game. They finished with five shot attempts, four shots on goal, and generated three scoring chances. All three of those scoring chances came in the third period. In the first few power plays, the first 5 minutes and 16 seconds, Chicago generated one shot on goal and zero scoring chances on their first three power plays. So it was a rough night in that department. I would not be surprised if that's something they work on at practice tomorrow, because it felt like that was a factor as to why the Blackhawks didn't get any momentum in this game. Let's talk to Jason Dickinson. He returned to the lineup after missing the last two games with an injury. He led the way in the faceoffs department for the Blackhawks with 10 wins, which tied Connor Bedard, actually. Oh, wait, Connor finished with more. He finished 10 wins and only 6 losses. Dickinson was 10 wins, 7 losses for a 59% win percentage. Let's hear what Dickinson had to say about this 3-1 loss.
What happened there early in the second? Seemed like things started to turn a little bit.
I think the power play lost a little bit of momentum there, and then we didn't get a shift after to get back, and felt like we were just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot a little bit. It's so cliche, but like, we made mistakes that they capitalized on, and that's really all it was. And then they played their game from there, and they're a cagey team that knows how to win games, and they can close it out. So they did a good job of that. So tip your cap, but it was self-inflicted that kind of led to that situation.
That's unusual for you guys to do that this so far this season, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, we've had our moments. We've been able to claw back from them before, but this is another learning moment for us, right? Like, a team like this that knows how to win and knows how to play like that, we can't let ourselves do that. And it's easier said than done sometimes, but it really is simple plays. Like, I think of back on the goal that I gave up, and it's such a simple play, but a stupid decision where I panic with the puck in a dangerous area and it turns into a breakaway. So it's completely self-inflicted. I've said it a million times already, but it's just stupid plays that could easily be corrected, and just show a little poise and not panic in those moments once the momentum does swing, to just kind of take a breath and bear down.
Did you feel like in the first period you guys had an opportunity to capitalize more?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like we were pushing the pace. We were doing what we wanted to do, and we were getting a lot more ozone time, obviously, so that makes it feel like we were doing a lot more. Whether we were or weren't, I don't know what the analytics would say as far as scoring chances, but we were in the ozone, which is obviously a good sign, and we were moving as a unit and being smart with the puck and making sure that we weren't putting ourselves in those situations, and it was working.
How did you feel getting back in the lineup?
I felt pretty good. As the game went on, I started to feel better. Like I said on that goal, there was a couple moments that I made some bonehead decisions that I would rather make a better play, but you know, that's just a little bit of rust coming off after a week off and trying to get my reads back.
We'll ask him here shortly about Ilya Mikheyev, but how much do you miss him in the third period after he goes off?
Yeah, missing anybody. We're already going 11-7, yeah. So forwards are going every other, basically, at that point. I think Frank and Bedzie ended up playing probably 10 minutes of the third period each. So it puts a lot of stress on other guys, not only missing a guy like Mickey that can forecheck, he can get in on pucks by himself, he can create something on a forecheck alone. So that's definitely a factor that's missed, and then just putting pressure on other guys to play more minutes and harder minutes.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson. There are not many guys in the room that I would want to hear from more than Jason Dickinson. He is always raw, honest, very insightful, and you heard it all in that. Just the way he breaks down a game, and the way that he has a very analytical mind, and so I appreciate his perspective on things. I believe Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill is speaking to the media now, but a quick injury update. He said it doesn't sound like Ilya Mikheyev's injury will be long term, which is a really positive sign for the Blackhawks. Not sure if he's going to play on Tuesday, but that's the one thing that just trickled out of the Jeff Blashill press conference. Chicago scored the lone goal in the first period. It was a Connor Bedard goal, his third of the season. Hawks made a trade on Friday afternoon. They sent Lucas Reichel to the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for a fourth-round pick in 2027. So wishing Lucas the best. I don't have time in this post-game show to share my full thoughts. We do have a Blackhawks live show tomorrow at 7, and we'll get deep into the weeds and breaking down every aspect of this. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. But I wanted to share, there was a Vancouver reporter that wrote a story on Lucas today. Lucas Reichel found out that he was being traded while sitting in a Portillo's parking lot with Teuvo Teravainen after doing some last-minute shopping for the Halloween party that was supposed to be on Friday night that he was supposed to attend prior to the trade. So that is hilarious that Lucas found. Actually, that's funny. I went to Portillo's yesterday. It might have been the same one that he went to downtown. So funny story there for Lucas Reichel. Wishing him the best in Vancouver. I will have more thoughts on that trade on Blackhawks Live tomorrow. Let's I'm going to rearrange some things. I'm going to do a quick prospects update here so we can get to the Jeff Blashill audio on the other side of the break. So it's time now to check in on the Blackhawks prospects. Let's check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I have to highlight Adam Guyan, second round pick by the Blackhawks from 2023, goaltending prospect. He is 7-1-0 with a 1.25 goals against average, 938 save percentage, and one shutout in his sophomore season so far at Minnesota Duluth. He's tied for first in wins with 7 and starts with 8, tied for third with in goals against average at 125, and he's 6th in save percentage from goaltenders with at least 4 starts at 938. So he is off to a fantastic start at Minnesota Duluth. Last season he was 7-12-1 with a 3.33 goals against average, an 885 save percentage, and a shutout. So a huge bounce back. He's already matched last year's win total so far through 8 games. So a terrific season so far for Adam Guyan. The Blackhawks goaltending pipeline continues to get better and better. Spencer Knight, Arvid Soderblom, Drew Chamesso, Stan Berezinoi, I mean, Adam Guyan, just a really strong pipeline that the Blackhawks are developing. So good to see Guyan get off to a really good start over in college. It's a 7:45 puck drop here at the United Center because it's the NHL Frozen Frenzy. So they're all 32 teams are in action, 16 games. I think starting at might be 5:45 or 6 o'clock. Every 15 minutes, there will be a puck drop. And so Chicago slotted in at 7:45. Ottawa has gotten off to a so-so start. They're 4-4-1, so they're .500. But the big thing with them is they're no Brady Tkachuk, and he is the heartbeat of that team. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a right thumb injury, injured in that third game of the year. I will say, keep an eye out on Shane Pinto and Dylan Cousins. Pinto has 8 goals this season, which is tied for first in the entire NHL, and Dylan Cousins has 6. No other player on Ottawa has more than 2. So those are the two guys to watch out for, Pinto and Dylan Cousins. All right, let's go to Jeff Blashill. We just got that coming in, so we'll try to squeeze in as much as we can on this Blackhawks post-game show. Let's hear what Jeff had to say about this loss.
We'll know more tomorrow morning. I don't think it's anything long term. You know, whether he's ready for Tuesday or not, I'll have more knowledge on that tomorrow. But as we sit here today, I don't think it's anything long term. Obviously, couldn't finish the game, so that puts him, I guess, day to day.
With the game, looked like you guys got the start you wanted, and then the second, you know, they get a lead and they're tough to deal with once they get a lead.
100%. You know, I thought we played really good in the first, probably could have been up by 2. Not that we had crazy much chance, but I thought we played good. That's the way we want to play. I thought we kind of self-inflected a little bit in the second in terms of puck management, a couple decisions, and we kind of made the game less direct, less predictable to ourselves, and as a result, we didn't really create much at all. And probably on top of that, stopped shooting when we did have chances to shoot. And so, they get the 2-1 lead, and they're a really hard team with the lead. And so in the third, it was just we just had a real hard time generating stuff because they're good at kind of sitting back and making you force it in, and they broke the puck out better than us. And we didn't quite have the jump on the forecheck that we need to have when you're in those spots. That's disappointing for sure because I thought, we could have kind of carried forward from the first on, but there's a learning thing in this. I think they've got a lot of good pros on their team that have kind of been through hard hockey, and we got to still continue to kind of make strides when the game's hard like that, not when it's open and fast, when it's hard.
You're talking about power play.
I want to look at it more without, commenting a whole bunch. We struggle to win faceoffs still. That's an issue because then you got to get in. We made a couple tweaks on our breakout that didn't pay off the way that we were hoping to. Probably didn't result in what we were hoping to. You get a little bit of looks, but not much. So we gotta at the very least, as I said to him, we gotta generate momentum. Didn't feel like we generated momentum on it today. So that's just something we're going to have to, it's a process, and we're going to have to go back to the drawing, not back to the drawing board, just stay with it and find a way to get better at it.
You talked about giving up odd man rushes in Tampa, not getting burned there. Mm-hmm. Really, it was just in the first 5 minutes of the second mm-hmm. period that it happened tonight, but it was one penalty and 2 goals. Mm-hmm. What, did you see any common trend from Thursday to now with that?
Not necessarily. I think for sure, some of it was you got to take what's given, and you can't try to make something out of nothing. And in terms of your puck management, and I think we stopped taking what's given. You know, I say it all the time: make a player live another day. And I just think there was times where you know we could have either lived another day. Now the one's unfortunate. Dickinson shoots the puck from the point; they front it and go the other way. Fiala's good at that stuff. He's good at taking off. I think Dickie would have liked to get more on it. So it's not necessarily a system thing. It's just the way it happened. But, you know, obviously on the other goal, the turnover is you can't have highest turnovers. You just can't. So, you know, Rinn's a really good player, and he makes lots of really good plays, and he's just got to learn how to manage it. And just like the rest of us, it's a learning process.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. The sigh of relief is that Ilya Mikheyev has been ruled day-to-day. Status for Tuesday's game is unclear, but scary-looking injury. Kind of went to the locker room holding his right shoulder. So hopefully it's not too serious for him, and the Hawks can bounce back when they're back in action on Tuesday against Ottawa.